God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. We live in a get and give economy, which is to say you put something out there and then you're paid for it. You get something back. And there's nothing intrinsically wrong with that. In fact, I think it's a wonderful thing that we can make things and sell things and make a living that way. But I want to tell you that you are really in trouble if you let God out of that economy. That is to say, if all you're doing is just, what can I get? Then what you end up doing is manipulating your way through life instead of faithing your way through life. That is trusting God in life. When you come to Mark chapter 13, you find a group of people that had nothing in common completely among all of them except their enemy. They had a common enemy. And that was Jesus. Who were these people? These were the leaders. These were the ruling class, if you will. You have the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the Herodians, the lawyers, as they're called in Matthew, people that knew the Mosaic law. These are people that had great power. And they were under the illusion that what they got made them successful. So they had money. They were concerned about that. Do we give money to Caesar or to God? What do you think, Jesus, is what they asked him. They were people that loved as a group, and of course they were different groups, but together as a group. They loved titles. They loved salutations and chief seats and uppermost rooms and long prayers and so on. They made money. They made a name for themselves. They made arguments. And that's basically what Mark 12, and the previous chapter is about, is arguments they were making against the Lord Jesus. And you learn something very, very important when you read Mark 12 to the end, and you see the contrast between this group of people who thought their success was in what they had and what they got, and what the Bible calls the common people, with an example being of a widow woman. The Bible says in Mark 12:37, and the common people heard him gladly. Now, the scribes had literally every sign in the book, but they rejected Jesus. And yet the common people heard him gladly and learned because they did. Jesus says in the next verse, beware of the scribes. So you have a contrast between common people and scribes. And there's nothing wrong with knowing the Bible. You should. These are people that knew the Bible but rejected the living word. In verse 41 and 42, you have the contrast again. Different names, same contrast. The rich cast in much to the offering for the temple. And in verse 42, the Bible tells us a story about a certain poor widow. She threw in two mites, which make a farthing. In other words, what she gave was nothing. It was just a mite. And Jesus called his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Now, obviously, Jesus was thinking about a different economy than most people do. Did this poor widow put in more money than the scribes who, the Bible says, devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers? Did she have as much to give as the scribes did? No. But did she give more? And the answer is yes, because she gave everything. Can I just tell you something? You can never give more than 100%. And so the way we think about economy is flawed. We think, what do I have? What can I get? And Jesus is thinking, what have I given you and what will you give? You see, what I have is an indication of what God has given me, whether it's by my hard work and ingenuity or by birth or whatever else. There's a sense in which we are given what we have. We can be good stewards of that, but everything I have, including the breath in my lungs, is a gift of God. So what I have is God's to give. What I give is my decision. That's my decision. So that makes that a little bit more important in the sense that that's what I'm responsible for. Jesus goes on to say in verse 44, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So what's the bottom line? The bottom line is this: success is found in how I give, not in what I have. What I have is given me by God. How I give is mine to decide, not how much I give, how I give. Can I just tell you something? If you give 100% of yourself, money's just, it's just a way in which I can give. If I've given 100% of myself, I have nothing more to withhold and nothing more I can give. And that's where the rub is. People never feel offended about hearing about Bible instruction on giving money when they've given themselves. And by the way, the people I want in my team and you should want on your team are people that are givers, not getters. Not people who have an extraordinary amount of talent, but those who give what they have. To those who give, they'll get more. Givers always can, because God sees to it. God will supply for them. So let me ask you a question. Who gave you what you have? God. Who decides what you give? You. The scribes and so on, they built a life on what they could make, making money, making a name, making an argument, this dear widow, she was what the Bible calls common people. She heard Jesus gladly, and I would suppose, and she gave generously. You can't give more than 100%. So what impresses people? What impresses people is how much you've got. What pleases God? How, not how much, how you give. And so who are you trying to please this morning? You know, how much will you leave when you're gone? And the answer is 100%. How much will you take when you leave? And the answer is 0%. So the question this morning is, how much will you give? Not just money, but of all that you have. This is more of a question of how than how much, because success is found in how you give, not in what you have.